Again, from Luke chapter 2, verse 17 through 19. When they, the shepherds, had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I love that. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Perhaps we need to back this story up a little bit and go to verse 8 of that same chapter, chapter 2 of Luke. We get a little insight here. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Praise the Lord. I love that these shepherds were ordinary men. In fact, by today's standard, they would be considered blue-collar workers. They'd be minimum wage earning men or women, young people, making just enough money perhaps to survive, nothing more. They would have had very rough hands. They would have worked day in, day out, morning to night. In fact, they stayed with their sheep continuously out in the fields. Their clothes would be dirty and tattered from life in the open fields. And as they came to see this baby, they probably smelt of sheep and of hard work. And that's good. And that's who we are. In fact, we often think of, when we say shepherds, we say lowly shepherds. And that's okay. In fact, that's nothing to be ashamed of, to be a lowly shepherd. In fact, I'm thinking back to the story of Joseph when he's in Egypt and his brothers are invited to come now and to live there in Egypt. But he says to them, listen though, when you come, when they ask you, what occupation does your family enjoy? What do you do? Do not tell them that you're shepherds, because, you know, they think very lowly of shepherds. They do not respect shepherds here. Don't tell them that. Tell them you are herdsmen. Tell them you are cattle farmers. But don't say shepherd, for goodness sake. And as soon as they entered Egypt, all the brothers and father, and were asked, what do you do for work? They said, we're shepherds. They were not ashamed of it. We're shepherds. And there's nothing wrong with it. We're few. We're lowly. We're simple. We're good, hard-working shepherds. Wonderful. Very ordinary men. A very ordinary night. And then they had an extraordinary encounter with God. That's what made all the difference, isn't it? What a joyous moment that would have been. You know, last night we had a wonderful service here. I suppose for most everyone else out there in the world outside of Christendom would have said, well, you know, it's Saturday night. I guess it's another Saturday night. And maybe some would say it's an even more so a party night. You know, it's Christmas Eve. Let's party. Let's be this or that or the other thing. But we chose instead to gather at the stable. And here we are today doing that very same thing. We are gathering at the stable. We are gathering where Jesus is. Of course, he's all places, but this is his house. And when the wise men came, it says they came into the house. I love that. Lowly shepherds and magi, wise men. We often call them kings. You see, the two polar ends of society. But they were invited, they were drawn, they were so moved that they wanted to be there. They weren't many. The Lord was telling me that as we were worshiping, and I hope we worshiped well. There weren't many that came to the stable. Perhaps the people were outnumbered by livestock. It was certainly not the place to be. I'm sure there were far more exciting things people thought they would do that evening. Maybe even just being at home and being in bed. I don't know what they would have chosen. But a few, a blessed few, chose to be in that house, to be in that stable. These lowly shepherds, ordinary men doing an ordinary job on an ordinary night. And then they had a divine moment. And there are divine moments happening, I won't say all the time, but at very special moments. If you catch those moments, if you don't miss them, what a blessing. We often expect God to prefer to call someone, anyone, more gifted, more talented, more exceptional than we, than you, than me. We expect God wants spectacular people when he wants to do a spectacular thing, but of course he doesn't. God put a star in the sky. And this was not a normal occurrence, ladies and gentlemen. Science, and even Christians who embrace science to the extent where they want to explain every miracle through science, if you can explain it with science, it's not a miracle, first of all. If you could do it scientifically, if you could repeat it scientifically, if you could point and say, there it is, and it should be there, that's not a miracle. See, dead men don't come out of caves. That's not scientifically explainable. Axe heads do not float. I mean, that's a little more obscure of a miracle. Water does not turn into hundreds of gallons of wine at a wedding. It just, you can't explain that with science. Oh, well, obviously it was this and that and the other thing that caused it. No. And that star is not so many planets aligning. Because it moved. It led them. And then it stopped moving when it got to the place where he was. That's what it's... Science cannot explain that. That is a supernatural event, and that's a miracle. I joked yesterday and said, you know, Pastor Andrew came up, and I thought he was going to sing with you, Ron. And Pastor Andrew has insisted he will never sing because he doesn't think he can. We'll fix that. But for now, when he got up here, and I joked, I said, I thought we were going to have a Christmas miracle. Well, no. Andrew singing is not a Christmas miracle. A miracle is unexplainable outside of God. But God causes angels to appear to lowly shepherds, causes a light, which is described as a star, to lead wise men to the place where Jesus is born. That's a miracle. A miracle is that the God of heaven becomes an infant baby in a manger. That's a miracle. We don't want to downplay what a miracle is and call every small thing a miracle. You know, it's not a miracle that I find a good parking spot at Walmart on the busiest day of shopping before Christmas. That's not a miracle. That's, I'll call it a blessing. I actually pray for those parking spots. I said, Lord, give me a close one. But then other times I'm reminded, Lord says, well, how close to disabled do you want to be? I mean, maybe I don't want to be parked right next to the disabled parking. Sometimes I think I want to be at the very furthest away so that I have to walk. That's good too. And then someone would suggest then, well, it's a miracle. Look, he's walking. But it's not. None of that is miraculous. Amen? We know what a miracle is. And the story of Christ Jesus coming into this world is a miracle. Upon miracles. It is the greatest story of all. And it begins before time. That's a miracle. That's what we treasure. In fact, we read about Mary. And all who heard it were amazed, we read a moment ago. But Mary treasured up all these things that she'd heard, all these things that they said to her, and she pondered them in her heart. Isn't that wonderful? I might suggest that's what we ought to do. Just please revisit the stable, revisit the story with a brand new perspective, with just like, read it for the first time again. You know we can. Instead of hurrying through the story, because you know how it ends. Treasure it. Ponder it. Take it into your heart. Now here's Mary, trying to soak this all in. I can just imagine these shepherds. I don't think they just came in quietly. They came in so excited. They ran into that stable, and they could not wait to tell about this angel. And Mary was absolutely blown away by this story. She could barely collect herself, I expect. Yes, she had been visited by an angel too. And now shepherds, I mean, God is telling other people now too. She has told Mary. I mean, God has told Mary and God has told Joseph. But now, the good news is going out to others as well. And those shepherds told everybody. They could not keep it to themselves. And that's good news. Thank you, Lord, that people who have the wonderful truth of Jesus don't keep it to themselves. Every one of us is blessed for that. Somebody told you. Somebody told me. If they hadn't, where would we be? Where would we go? Thank you, Jesus. So in this stinky stable, surrounded by noisy animals, these excited shepherds tell the story. And here's Mary trying to take care of a newborn, and all these strangers are barging in. I mean, it was tough enough having this baby in a stable, and now I got all these strangers barging in and all excitedly telling their stories. But it's okay. It's okay. It's wonderfully okay. I believe that in those moments, Mary was in a sanctuary. To earthly eyes, it would have looked like a terrible place to be. But at that moment, I think Mary was in a wonderful place. Just a wonderful place. People joke and say, well, you know, we make that stable scene look so sanitary and so sweet. You know, it's on the cover of Christmas cards and that sort of thing. But that it was altogether something different. It was rough and smelly and horrible. But I think to Mary, it was transformed into the most beautiful place in the world. It was a sanctuary. And she stopped and she pondered. After days of travel, after all that pain, that was forgotten. And all she could think about is this wonderful, precious gift, the is Jesus. And she treasured it all and pondered it. That is beautiful. You know, everybody that has heard this story will have a different response. Some will be indifferent to it. Perhaps some will be impressed by it. But Mary was impacted by it. It was powerful to her. It was powerful to us. We are impacted by it. Some people will listen. But Mary lingered. She just stayed there. She stopped her busyness and her worry and her fretting. I expect that she even forgot about the labor and just lingered and treasured the moment. And I believe that's what we need to do. Of course, when it comes to the things of God, we need to treasure them. But there are moments, divine moments, God moments that happen that we need to see, to be impressed by, and to linger, and to just soak it up. I do believe that. You know, last night we were, I was so crazy busy making sure everything went, you know, right during our evening service that I did not have a single second to linger, to ponder. And so it wasn't so special an event for me, I dare say it. But I hope and believe and pray it was a special event for everyone else, that it was a blessed time for them all, a time to slow down. My time to slow down was afterward. Got home, it was blessed, it was good. Took me a little while to get there in my heart, but when I got slowed down and was home, and there's all my sons, and my wife, and my grandbaby, and there we all together, and that's a rare occasion. And while everybody was busy unwrapping presents, and you know, I just closed my eyes and just, that was sanctuary, that was treasure, that was a divine moment for me. It was good. That was really good. You know, lingering helps us to slow down, to savor, to more deeply experience. You know, we so often talk about getting through things. And, you know, once we get past this busy Christmas season, then, oh, please don't do that. Let's slow down, okay? A lot. I love that when they talk about on the ships, they say, hard stop. A hard stop. We're not going any further. We're right there. Let's stop there. And then they even drop anchor, I suppose. And they stay exactly put. Yeah. I'm not usually good at that. But I'm going to work on it. I read of Breen Brown, in one of her books, tells a story about her daughter, Ellie. And I could kind of picture my Judy and Josh some years ago, because they'd always go to the Storyland Valley Zoo. And one of their favorite things, you know, we didn't have much money, we couldn't afford much, but we'd get a season pass for Judy and Josh for that and a few things like that. And they would go a lot to the zoo. And they would buy their little bit of food to feed the animals at the petting zoo. And sometimes they'd even get to go on the paddle little swan, right? You little paddle boat swan. So I was thinking of them when I read this story. One day, Ellie and her mom, Ellie being in the first grade, they spent the day at the park. A park kind of like the Storyland Valley Zoo in Edmonton. And at one point, they were on a paddle boat, and, you know, they were feeding the ducks off the side, and, I mean, it was a picture-perfect day at the park. And then Ellie stopped paddling, leaned back in her little chair, just closed her eyes, and she did nothing. And her mother watched, and, well, that's something. But then it continued. It was like a couple of minutes of eyes closed, leaning back, hardly moving a muscle. So finally, Mama says, Ellie, is everything okay? She says, I'm fine, Mom. I'm just making a picture memory. She says, it's a picture I take in my mind when I'm really, really, really happy. That's a good idea. So, you know, we all have cameras now. In fact, there are more cameras out there in society than there's ever been in the history of mankind. Everything's getting recorded, which is a warning to those doing dastardly deeds, I suppose. But there are cameras everywhere. I predict that in this room, being that there's, say, 20 people, there's 25 cameras. Probably something like that, because we all have a camera in our phone, and then a few of you have other devices that have cameras in them. Everything has a camera. In fact, watches have cameras in them for now as well, and they're not just cameras, they're video cameras and so on. But while we're busy taking pictures of things, stop and take a mental picture. Close your eyes, stop pedaling. Just lean back and ponder the treasure. Because I think sometimes our busyness overshadows the wonder, the mystery, and the miracle of Christmas. Let's just take a step back. Just close your eyes. See, I believe it's not a good idea to hoard things. But it's a very good thing to treasure things, especially divine moments, God-blessed moments. Mary treasures and ponders the miracle, the wonder, and the beauty of the incarnation, and we do well to do the same. God has come in the flesh. Stop there. So my prayer for you and for me and for all, yeah, come up please, Judy, is that when we get to the end of December, we would not have just gotten through a tolerable, busy month, but it would be treasurable. And that you have collected some divine moments that will fill your heart through the cold months of January and on. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you have given us the ability to remember, to treasure, to store up. Want so much, God, to not miss the divine moments of our days, to not be so busy that we miss the blessing, that we would not just try to get through it all, but rather we would embrace the journey and just love the moments that you have blessed us with. Each one of them is a treasure that do not come again. Each one of them is so rare, so precious. So now we're going to have communion. And we think, how amazing is that God come down from heaven is Emmanuel, God with us. We are celebrating your birth, but truly, the greatest of all gifts is your death. You came to die for our sins. And that is the greatest gift, the greatest treasure of all. Our salvation was paid for through your broken body and your spilled blood. And when you told people about that, they said, this is a hard thing. And they said it was hard to hear and hard to receive. The hard thing truly was the doing. But you counted it all joy. And for the joy set before you, you humbly laid down your life. You laid it down. No one took it from you. You willingly laid down your life. And then you died for us. And on the night you were betrayed, you took bread. After giving thanks, you broke it and said, this is my body. And in like manner, after supper, you took the cup and said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is for you. The gift was presented at Christmas in your birth. But the true cost was paid at Easter at your death. And we treasure all of it. It is one story. It is one gift. It's the greatest story ever told. I'd ask if there's a... Maybe John, can you come and serve with me? And Josh?
In all the busyness of Christmas, Pastor Dan made such a powerful point. We need to take time to stop and just to focus on him. And
go ahead.
I'm guilty. I was up at 5 a.m. fighting with a frozen turkey. And, you know, I could feel it when I was worshiping this morning. But God had spoke to me way earlier this week to put this song in the song set. And it's not in a key that worked. And it's just to dwell on God with us. So as they're serving, let's just take that time, not to, if you want to sing, you can, but just to focus on God being with us, which was the whole purpose of his arriving here.
We treasure you. Thank you, Jesus. We know it so well. Jesus, after giving thanks, took bread and broken, said, this is my body, which is for you. Let's partake together.
Thank you, Jesus. I love you so much.
And in like manner, after supper, he took a cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is for you. Let's partake together. Be very certain. On that night, when Jesus established the Lord's table, at the Last Supper, which is our communion, that was a divine moment. And for our good, it was recorded, and we've been instructed to repeat and to treasure and to linger and to ponder all that Christ has done for us, beginning at Christmas and being brought to its conclusion at its resurrection. When he said, it is finished, it was finished. And the gift is ours. We treasure it. So each of us, just take a moment, express your gratitude. personally to the Lord. Lord, we are grateful. To say we are grateful is so inadequate. We are blessed. Words just cannot suffice. So instead we say, Lord, we are yours. We give ourselves fully over to you as you have given yourself to us. And we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Thank you. Precious Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Do we have a closing carol?
Praise the name. Well, Anastasis.
Okay. We're going to sing Praise the Name.